Talk with a Purpose every Saturday, 9 till noon, WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And I'm John DeMasi, the one and only, ladies and gentlemen, Seth Grossman, who is not adjusting to the three-hour time difference on the West Coast. Seth, don't feel bad. I never adjust to that either. So I know you're up early in the morning.
Yeah, but it's worth it. I'm in Tacoma, Washington, where I had to put a sweater on yesterday because it's been about 50, 55 degrees, nice and sunny and warm, but very pleasant here at a family reunion. But I did post something on about the NAACP convention, why I was waiting in the airport and why I was on a plane. And it actually got published in a national blog called American Thinker. But you could get it on the website, libertyandprosperity.com, about how the NAACP lets down black Americans by focusing on these fake issues and ignoring the real issues affecting the black community. The press release for the opening of the NAACP convention said that there are four pressing issues facing the black community. Number one, voter suppression. Number two, student debt. Number three, police brutality. Four, reproductive rights. And they also threw in the fifth one, which was climate change, that blacks are suffering more from climate change than any other race. And all these issues, they're fake issues. They're ridiculous. Black Americans vote in higher numbers than almost any racial or ethnic group in almost every election in America. That's why your Marty Smalls get elected. That's how your Kalim Shabazz get elected, because they systematically harvest the votes. It's part of the culture, the political culture. So while political people and other races and groups are going out saying, vote for me because of this, black political organizations are just, you look at the Callaways, just how skillful they are in getting the highest vote turnout anyway. So how can you blame the failure of black communities on, quote, voter suppression? It's just not there. The other idea, student debt. Most student debt is incurred by white students getting master's and doctorate degrees. Has nothing to do with the black community. And besides, student debt is a secondary issue. You have student debt because of the obscenely high and unsustainable college tuitions and fees. Just look at even a state school like Stockton. And then you have police brutality. Is that the cause of violence and anger in the black communities? Does police brutality explain why a 14-year-old and a 10-year-old would beat a random 73-year-old man to death with a traffic cone? Does it explain why a 13-year-old kid would be on the streets of Atlantic City in broad daylight on Atlantic Avenue shooting at people? No, that's not caused by police brutality. The police have to deal with this, because of this culture among angry black young men. And Thomas Sowell described that in a book in 2005 called Black Rednecks and White Liberals. And finally, with reproductive rights, that's not an issue. Since 1973, roughly one third of all black pregnancies end in an abortion. So how is that benefiting the black community? But meanwhile, while the NAACP is talking about that, here's what they ignore. More than 64% of all black children in America are raised in one-parent families. That's three times higher than the percentage of one-parent households for any other racial, ethnic, or national group in the world. So there's something wrong there, but yet it's not even mentioned as an issue by this NAACP National Convention. Number two, roughly 10,000 black Americans are murdered or otherwise deliberately killed each year, almost entirely by other black Americans. I believe the last statistic was 2020. I think it was 9,674 black American victims of homicide. But that doesn't get mentioned. Only the George Floyd, only the occasional one or two a year that you have, but the 10,000 a year are completely ignored. And the only reason that you have issues with police is police are called in to deal with that. So it's not police brutality, but they ignore that issue. That's a third issue. 84% of black students finishing high school lack proficiency in mathematics. 85% are functionally illiterate. I mean, that is completely the reverse of in 1913, the heart of the Jim Crow era, 70% of black Americans were literate. So I mean, it's just disgraceful. But to go to the point that you talked about the, accentuate the positive. I don't know if you ever heard that book, Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Successful People. But almost any psychologist, almost any self-improvement expert will tell you that if you look at successful people, they're what they call proactive. They focus on the things they can control, such as their attitude, their education, skills to learn, enthusiasm, good work habits, showing up on time, staying late when necessary to finish a job, useful hobbies that perfect skills. Successful people do that. However, people who fail tend to be what they call reactive. They blame others for their situation. And you have to ask yourself, are the NAACP, white liberals and black Democrats, promoting a reactive culture of failure in the black community so that whenever someone who is black doesn't get what they want, or they don't get the job, or they don't get the raise, or they don't get the lifestyle, instead of saying, well, maybe I should get married before I have kids, maybe I should finish high school before I get kids, maybe I should study here, maybe I should take a lower paying job to pick up some skills, the things that people do in every other ethnic group, but what the NAACP and white liberals and black leaders are saying, you're failing because it's somebody else's fault. And it's amazing. There was actually, if you look at the online news from Microsoft, the latest thing is that there's rate that more black Americans are being killed as pedestrians in auto accidents. And that's proof of racism for drivers in America. No, it's because, some people are walking, wearing, dark clothing at night in the road and not looking where they're going. But instead of saying, what could I do to keep myself from getting killed while walking on a road, it's racism. They're out to get me. And it's a very, very destructive attitude. And you're right. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
I'm listening to you, and you did an excellent article about a lot of these issues. But I'm wondering, do you think the NAACP will ever get it? I mean, they're supposed to be uplifting, and what you said and what I said doesn't appear to be what they're doing. It seems like they're really putting African Americans down. They're retarding their development. That's what I'm thinking. What's your thoughts?
Right, and I actually explained that. And this is nothing new. There was a guy, and by the way, in college, they used to teach stuff like this. A guy called Robert Michels wrote a book called Political Parties. And he talked about the iron law of oligarchy. And he talked about whenever you have large organizations, sooner or later, the people running those organizations are more interested in advancing their own careers than in doing what's good for their members. And it's not just the NAACP. So you see that most NAACP leaders, like Kalim Shabazz, what does he do for a living? Has he ever had a job in his life that did not depend on getting a government job, government contract, a corporate grant, a government grant, some set aside, something that you get by winning elections, that you get by being political?
No.
So you have the leadership of the and people would laugh about that back in the 1980s when he was coming out. What's your professional job? So he didn't have one other than doing that. And most of the leaders are the same way. So their self-interest to become important is to make sure that Democrats win elections, which is why the NAACP is pushing these issues that have nothing to do with helping black Americans, but they have everything to do with helping Democrats win the midterms. So you ask yourself, why is the NAACP doing that? Again, it's because the leaders pursuing their personal agendas, and not what's good for the members. And it's, again, it's not just black organizations. The Jewish organizations like the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, those Jewish organizations time after time promote programs that hurt Jews, that get Jews killed in America and Israel. So why are the leaders doing that? Because it advances their careers to advance the Democratic Party to get the prestige they want. And that explains why most labor unions promote open borders and legal and illegal immigration, even though it drives down wages and raises taxes and living expenses. The unions act against their interest of their members because, again, the union leaders get more prestige and more money by getting Democrats elected, because, you know, that's where the power is. That's where the government money is. So this year's NAACP convention, who gave most of the money to fund this convention? Well, first of all, I think Phil Murphy gave about several million dollars,
yes.
I believe.
Yes, he
to
did.
Fund the convention of
yes.
state money.
Yes.
But if you look at the NAACP website of who funded the convention, they thank their friends at Ford, J.P. Morgan, Wells Fargo, Airbnb, AT&T, McDonald's, Culinary Institute of America, UPS, Coca-Cola, Honda, Prudential. The biggest corporations of America are funding the NAACP to act against the interest of America and most black Americans, because they're saying, oh, we're doing this to make up for past injustice, but they're actually making things worse.
Right.
And I'm very happy that a national publication reprinted my thoughts on this. But you could get it at libertyandprosperity.com on the website. And, of course, I'm sure, even though I'm in Tacoma, Washington, the rest of the group will be discussing that at Sal's coal-fired pizza in Summers Point, Groveland Avenue and New Road.
What else is on the agenda today for Liberty and Prosperity?
Well, one thing I thought was it was almost laughable that Ørsted, the company promoting the billions of dollars of offshore wind turbines, together with Stockton College, they had a project with a press headline of young people making model wind turbines. And it showed about 20, 25 kids on the beach with these elaborate model wind turbines. But they weren't model wind turbines. They were pinwheel toys that a five-year-old would use. And they're just playing with these pinwheels. And if they were real models, if you would do a real science fair experiment like we used to have in the 1950s and 60s, where you not only have a wind turbine, but you hook it up to a battery, or you hook it up to some practical application, or you hook it up to a meter to measure what's coming out. If they did that, even a 10-year-old would figure out how useless these wind turbines are and what a scam the whole thing is. But again, the press of Atlantic City has this front page article of these kids playing with pinwheel toys as if they're actually learning something. And it's funny. So they're the ones who say follow the science, but it's not the science. It's almost like a cult. So I'm sure there'll be some discussion about that this morning at libertyandprosperity.com.
All right, Seth, as always, good stuff. Thanks for calling in from far away, and hopefully you can go back to sleep.
I'm going to take a nap
right now.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Seth Grossman, libertyandprosperity.com. The meeting starts in about a minute, 9:30 this morning, Sal's Coal Fire Pizza on New Road in Summers Point. Talk with a Purpose is the show. Saturdays 9 till noon, WPG, Talk Radio 95.5, and I'm John DeMasi.